This is Bhagavad Gita as it is, 5th chapter, text 24. Yanta sukham tararamas Satantar jyotireva yaha Sayogi brahma nirvanam Brahma Bhuto Digachati Yon Tatsu Kantara Ramas Satantar Jyotireva Yaha Sayogi Brahma Nirvanam Brahma Bhuto Digachati
Yantasukantararamas Tatantar jyotirevayaha
Tatantar jyotirevayaha
Sayogi brahma nirvanam
Sayogi brahma nirvanam
Brahmaputo digacchati
Brahmaputo digacchati Yantasukantararamas Tatantar jyotirevayaha Sayogi brahma nirvanam Brahmaputo digacchati Yantasukantararamas Tatantar jyotirevayaha Sayogi brahma nirvanam Namabhuta Dikachati Yanta Sukantara Ramas Tatantar Jyotirevayaha Sayogi Brahma Nirvanam Namabhuta Dikachati Yanta Sukantara Ramas Tatantar jyotirevayaha Sayogi brahma nirvanam Brahmaputo digacchati
Yantasukantararamas
Tatantar jyotirevayaha
Sayogi brahma nirvanam
Brahmaputo Nikachati Yaha,
one who,
Antaha,
Sukkaha,
happy from within,
Antaha
Aramaha, actively enjoying within, Tata, as well as.
Antaha
Jyotihi,
aiming within.
Eva,
certainly.
Yaha,
anyone.
Saha,
he.
Yogi,
a mystic.
Brahma Nirvanam,
liberation in the Supreme.
Brahma Bhutaha, being self-realized.
Adigacchati
attains. One whose happiness is within, who is active and rejoices within, and whose aim is inward, is actually the perfect mystic. He is liberated in the Supreme, and ultimately he attains the Supreme. Purport. Unless one is able to relish happiness from within, how can one retire from the external engagements meant for deriving superficial happiness? A liberated person enjoys happiness by factual experience. He can therefore sit silently at any place and enjoy the activities of life from within. such a liberated person no longer desires external material happiness. This state is called Brahmabhuta, attaining which one is assured of going back to Godhead, back to home.
Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Niritam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manopistam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Yadhati Chapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Jata Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Sri Rupam Shagrajatam Sahagana Gaganatan Vitam Stam Sadivam Shadvaitam Shavadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lolita Sri Vishakhan Vitamscha E Krishna Karana Sindho Dina Vanto Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kamshana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kolpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Bhayevacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Yontasu kontara ramas, tatantar jyoti revayaha.
So yogi, Brahma Nirvana, Brahma Bhuto di Gacchati. And Krishna is distinguishing in this chapter between two kinds of happiness, the inner happiness and outward happiness. The inner happiness comes from our relationship with Krishna. The within, the soul is there and the super soul is there. And when the soul turns toward the super soul, then he's in his natural constitutional position and he enjoys natural happiness in relationship with the super soul. The natural happiness, because the super soul is the source of all happiness. We, in the previous purport, Ramante yogino nante satyanan vichiratni Iti Rama Padena so Param Brahma Vidhiyate. The absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, is known as Rama because he's the reservoir of all pleasure. Ramante yogino nante. The yogis enjoy unlimited pleasure in relationship with the Supreme Lord. And Iti Rama Padena so Param Brahma. Therefore, the Param Brahma, the personality of Godhead, is called Rama. People sometimes want to know, what is this Rama? Hare Rama. Rama means the reservoir of pleasure, the personality. Well, the yogis are those who act in relationship with that reservoir of pleasure. Sayogi Brahma Nirvana. They're the liberated souls. Brahma Nirvana. This nirvana word means extinguishing material existence. And Brahma Nirvana, by coming to the Brahma platform, or the platform of the spirit soul. Brahma and Param Brahma. Brahma means the individual soul, and Parabrahma, the Supreme Personality of God. Oh, the Brahma-Bhuta platform in perfection. Brahma-Bhuta prasannatma nasochati nakamshati samasarveshu bhuteshu madbhaktim labhate param. After coming to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, one goes further by engaging in the devotional service of the Lord. It's not that devotional service is a stepping stone to impersonal realization, Brahman realization. Rather, Brahman realization is the beginning. Brahma-Bhuta prasannatma. When one comes even to the Brahman platform, knowing that I'm spirit-soul, one becomes joyful. That's the first symptom of the self-realized person. Prabhupada said, self-realized person, the symptom is that he's always jolly, not morose. Prasannatma, he's always joyful. Just now, we're suffering in material existence because we're identifying with this material body, which is the source of all miseries. But when we identify ourselves as spirit soul, we'll be relieved from that so much suffering. We'll be relieved from so much suffering. Oh, I thought I was this body. I was in so much difficulty. As soon, just like Arjun, because he was identifying himself with this body, he was in distress. How can I kill my relatives? How can I? He was in distress because of bodily identification. So when we get free from this bodily identification, naturally we become joyful. We become liberated from this false identity. We become liberated from this false identity.
So,
Brahma-Bhuta prasannatma nashochati nakanshati. In the material platform, we're always lamenting about something and always hankering for something. Materialistic life means lament, oh, this didn't work out, oh, I lost this, like, oh, I couldn't get that, oh, this was a horror, this was a tragedy. Full of things to lament about. And full of desires also. If I can just get this, if I can just get that, I really want this, if I only had that. Shochati kanchati. When it comes to the spiritual platform, there's nothing to hanker for. Because we're already complete. Purnasya purnamadaya purnamudachyate. Purnat purnameva udachyate. Living beings are part of the complete personality of Godhead. But they're also complete by nature. They don't need all these external things for happiness. But because we've forgotten our relationship with the complete, the supreme complete, therefore we're experiencing incompleteness. So, on the spiritual platform, no hankering, no lamenting. Samasarveshu bhuteshu. A self-realized person sees all circumstances equally. Tulyan indatma samstuti. You can praise me or you can badmouth me. What's it to me? I'm not this body. This material life is not my real life. I'm only parked here for 50 or 100 years. I mean, what do I care if you call me this or call me that? If it's too hot or it's too cold or there's this or there's that. Yeah, it's temporary anyway. So, samasarvesha bhuteshu. A self-realized person is equal toward all circumstances. Or, sarveshu bhuteshu can also mean all living beings. He sees all living beings equally. Pandita samadarshan. Vidya vinaya sampanne. Brahmane gavihoshtini. Ashuni chayva shopake cha. Pandita samadarshan. He sees no difference between a human being or an ant or an elephant or a dog or a dog eater or a cow, Brahmin or Shudra. He sees everyone is spirit soul. This is another symptom of the self-realized person. So So in that circumstance, when one is perfectly self-realized, madbhaktim labhate param, from that stage, one goes further to engage in the devotional service of Krishna. Just as to get your graduate degree, first you have to get your undergraduate degree. And if you've got your graduate degree, it's understood you've already passed the undergraduate stage. Well, anyone who's engaged in devotional service is already understood to have surpassed the platform of simple spiritual realization. He's in the graduate stage of spiritual realization. So spiritual realization, brahma-nirvana, real liberation in spiritual life, means engagement in devotional service. Simply to be engaged in spiritual realization without devotional service is imperfect. One may think, now I've reached perfection. But Bhagavatam says, avishuddha buddhe. His intelligence is not yet perfectly clear. Although vimukta manina, he may think that he's perfectly liberated. In fact, avishuddha buddhe, his consciousness is not yet pure because he's not situated in his eternal relationship with the Lord. He's thinking of himself as something independent, something impersonal. Well, that's not perfect realization. When the living being realizes his eternal relationship with Krishna, then he's situated in his perfection. And then he becomes perfectly happy. Even in impersonal realization, which is supposed to be realization of the sat aspect, the eternity aspect of the Supreme Lord, one's happiness is not perfect. Therefore, ruya krishchena parampadam tata vipantyadho nandrita yushma. One falls down again to the material world, even after so much trauma. So the brahma-bhutodi gacchati, perfect Brahman realization, perfect attainment of spiritual realization implies realization of Krishna. So yogi brahma nirvana. Then one is yogi. Yogi means one who's connected. Connection means there must be two sides. There's you and there's Krishna. And then there's a connection. The person who's connected is actually a yogi. He's the best yogi. Yogi nam api sarvesham. Same yuktatam amritam. So, anyone who's properly engaged in spiritual realization, yonta sukantararamas, he's interested in even the impersonalist yogi, what to speak of the graduate student, the devotee, is finished with this external happiness. Yonta antasukha. Antasukha means he finds his happiness within. The materialists are busy searching for happiness. Lord Chaitanya gives the example of the astrologer who is telling a man that if you go looking this side, you'll find the treasure is guarded by some rakshasa. You go that side, it's guarded. You'll run into a serpent. You go this way, you go that. You have to look within yourself, finally. Every spiritual tradition, they say, you have to look within yourself. The kingdom of God is within. You're not going to find God here, there, or happiness running around. You go to New York and there's a big billboard, visit Paris. You go to Paris, there's a big billboard, visit New York. Puna punas charvata charvanana. Chew the chewed in Paris. Oh, you chewed it in Paris, chew it in New York. That happiness is not for the intelligent person. The intelligent person is, Prabhupada said, why do you have to go elsewhere for happiness? Your happiness is already there. People are searching for something, working hard for happiness. They're working like dogs so they can get 2 minutes happiness. And that happiness is not making them happy. That's explained in Bhagavatam that Natevidu Sparta Katim Hivishnu Durashaya Ye Bahirartama.
People don't know that their real happiness lies in relationship with Vishnu.
That their real success of their life lies in relationship with Vishnu.
Natevidu Sparta Katim. Their real self interest lies in relationship with Krishna. And because they don't know that, durashaya ye bahirartamanina.
They're thinking that they'll be happy by some external interest. External interest means maya.
They're interested in this external energy,
bahiranga shakti, the external energy of the Lord, or they're interested in something external to themselves.
Bahirartha.
They're not interested in Krishna. And therefore, they don't find happiness. In the Bhagavad Gita elsewhere it said,
Moghasha mogha karmano mogha jnana vichetasa rakshasi masri in chayava prakriti mohini mishrita. They take shelter of maya.
The living being is of the nature of he's a shelter-taking creature. The living being by nature has to take shelter. In the material world, a man takes shelter of a woman takes shelter of a man takes shelter of his government. Everyone is looking for shelter somewhere. They're looking for support, we're looking for some security. No one is independently happy. No one is independently happy. We take shelter of something. We depend on something. Someone depends on alcohol. Someone depends on LSD. Someone depends on rock music. Someone depends on his girlfriend. Someone depends on his boyfriend. Someone depends on... everyone is dependent on something for happiness. We take shelter of something.
But what are we taking shelter of? Prakritim mohinim shrita.
The illusory energy of the Lord. The probable glittering material energy. We're taking of shelter of something
which is not existent.
Maya means that which does not factually exist. In the Bhagavad Gita, the example is given of the reflection of reality. You don't satisfy your hunger by the reflection of dal rice and chapatis. You require the real dal rice and chapatis.
But we're taking shelter of the reflection of reality
and then wondering, why am I frustrated? Why am I not happy? Somehow I'm not feeling fulfilled. And then I go to some course on self-fulfillment, self-actualization, self-this, self, all about myself. And I'm still under the illusion that I'm this body and that I'll be happy with material things. Just some adjustment has to be made. If only I make the right adjustment, then it will all line up and I'll be happy. This is called mind. They've been adjusting since time immemorial. Still they're unhappy. They're suffering and dying, that's all. So, moghasha. Therefore, all their hopes are frustrated. Mogha karmano. All their hard work is for nothing. Mogha jnana. All their intellectual development and intellectual speculating and scientific advancement is all useless. Why? Rakshasi Masriyam Chaiva, because they're all rascals and fools.
Prakritim Mohini Shita.
Taking shelter of that which will not exist. What will not exist? This material energy. Whatever I'm depending on for happiness in this material world will not be finished. Therefore, I'm a fool. Number one, it will all be finished. And number two, as long as it's here, even then it won't give me happiness. It will give a little appearance of happiness in the beginning, and then it will disappoint or frustrate me. That's material happiness. Dukkha yoni eva. It's not actually a source of happiness, it's a source of frustration. Prabhupada explains in the second chapter, by nature's way, material energy is a source of frustration for everyone. That's a fact. So the real source of happiness is Vishnu. Krishna. But Nate Vidu is hard to continue. People don't know. So this Krishna consciousness movement is meant to bring us back in our connection with Vishnu, Krishna. And by that, Krishna consciousness, one becomes happy. It's not exactly that one becomes happy by the facilities of the Krishna consciousness movement. And now I have a nice temple and nice... That's all right. But the actual happiness comes from being genuinely devoted to Krishna. That's the real thing. Otherwise I become unhappy. Oh, they told me they'd support me, and now they're not supporting me anymore. They told me I could be the temple commander, and now they've made someone else the temple commander. They told me that I could get married to this girl, but now they're not letting me marry her. The happiness is not from some arrangement, some configuration of the building blocks of material energy in a pleasing pattern. The happiness comes when we devote ourselves to Krishna and become conscious of Krishna. Krishna consciousness is its own reward. It's its own reward. It's not that by Krishna consciousness I get something and that's the reward. The reward is Krishna consciousness itself. Of course, Krishna may give some reward to the devotee, but the devotee is not particularly interested in that reward. He's interested in devotional service to Krishna. Nrisimhadeva said, Prahlad, what can I give you? I want to give you something. No, don't give me anything. I'm already in too much trouble because I'm a demon and I'm full of desires. Please don't get me deeper into that. And anyway, I'm not a businessman and I'm serving you that you'll give me something. I just want to serve you, that's all. No, I want to give you something. All right, liberate my father, that's all. That's a devotee. Not that, all right, do this for me and then I'll be happy. Dhruva Maharaj had that he was looking for Krishna so that Krishna would give him something that would make him happy. Give him a kingdom to make him happy. Then when he saw Lord Vishnu, no, I don't want anything. Swamin kritartosmi varam niyache. I don't want anything. Why? Well, I just want to serve. There's nothing better than serving. Krishna also told the gopis that, well, what can I give you? You'll just have to be satisfied by your own devotional service. There's no higher reward than that. So that happiness, compared to the material happiness, is so insignificant. Even the self-realized impersonalists consider material happiness insignificant. And the devotees consider the happiness of the impersonalists insignificant. So how much happiness is there in devotional service? So, in this way, the devotee is active within. Even the Goswamis externally they were beggars. Look what they had. They were big, big men. They were big zamindars and big government officers. And they gave it all up. They gave it up as insignificant. And they were living like beggars. They were millionaires, practically. Rupa Goswami, when he left the government service, he had a boatload of gold coins. Has anyone here ever seen a boatload of gold coins? You know, if somebody showed you a handful of gold, you'd go, wow. And Rupa Goswami had a boatload of gold coins. And that was the remainder, after he'd given away most of it. Raghunath Das Goswami, his family was so wealthy. And they came here to Vrindavan, and Gopina Kantasrita. They were wearing a loincloth and a torn quilt. So someone said, "What? They were fools. They had everything, and they came to this village to live like wretched bums." But they were enjoying the highest happiness. They were enjoying the highest happiness. Materialists, they get, even when they come to the fight to get to the top of the pyramid, and when they get to the top, they find that there's nothing. And the Goswamis, they left all of this. Tuchtava, insignificant. So they got the greatest ecstasy. Externally it appeared they were nothing. Previously they were running the government, they were doing this, they were doing that. They became inactive. They were no longer involved. But they were involved with Krishna. All right, any questions?
So Warren, that means whatever service we are performing, if we are not free from bodily concept, then is it accepted as service?
If we're doing some service and we're not free from the bodily concept, is it accepted as service? Yes, still it may be service. That so many examples are there. Devotees, they were, even though they were in the bodily concept of life, even though they had some material desires, still it was counted. Where to speak of material desires, Putana witch, she had a desire to kill Krishna. Kill the child. But in the course of her attempt to kill the child, she did some service. Oh, can I nurse your baby? Very nice baby. So Krishna took it, oh, she's like a mom. He's doing some service. But Krishna is such a great person. Any great person, he appreciates even a little service done. That's a symptom of a great soul. You do a little service, he's very appreciative. But Krishna is the greatest person if someone renders even a little service, even unintentionally. Jamil unintentionally chanted the name of Narayan. He got all the so much benefit. So there's some story that some rat was crawling on the altar, and what was that story?
His tail got,
somehow it kept the candle going because it's, and it was counted. It got what became liberated or went back to God or something.
Even unconsciously, if we do some service, that's called a jata sukriti.
Even unknowingly. What to speak of knowingly and having some material attachment. Even unknowingly, if someone does some service, he makes advancement. It's counted. Oh, he did some service.
So it doesn't mean that we should be satisfied. Well, then I'll keep all my material desires. What the heck? Krishna will appreciate it. But it's encouraging that even if we may be not yet completely pure, or not even very pure, or maybe not pure at all, but something. Krishna, therefore it said, akama sarva kama va moksha kama dhyayati. Now even whether you're full of desires, no desires, desiring liberation, serve Krishna. Even if we're in the bodily concept of life, if we begin our service to Krishna, then gradually we'll come to the next stage, I'm not this body. Gradually we'll get more realization that actually I have nothing to do with this material world, I'm serving Krishna. From whatever stage we're in, once we begin, then. But our goal is pure devotional service. Sarvapadi vinir mukta. Tat pratayana nirvana. Vishikena vishikesha sevana. Bhakti. Real bhakti, pure bhakti, means sarvapadi vinir mukta. We get free from all these material.
Mm-hmm. So then it's after liberation we started pure devotional service.
After liberation we started pure devotional service. Yes. Or if you render pure devotional service, you're automatically past liberation.
So as you said, this Brahma-Bhuta platform is not enough for perfection of spiritual life. It needs not only the concept that Aham Brahmasmi, it should be some activities in Brahman for getting perfection. But what in this shloka we just now we recited, this is characteristics of the yogis, actually. Because sitting on one place in meditation, and he's deriving so much pleasure by being, by seeing the super soul.
Even before seeing the super soul, even just when I realize that I'm not this body, I'll feel better.
But they not, I would say they not engage in any activities like devotee. Maybe they.
At least that's the beginning. First, let me stop this nonsense. That's already improvement. Now let me realize that I'm not this body, that I'm spirit soul, aham brahmasmi. That's further improvement. Then, this is common for the impersonalists or the personalists. Both, there are two classes of yogis, the impersonalist yogis and the personalists. So they're both transcendentalists. So to be any kind of transcendentalist, we have to get off this bodily platform. It doesn't matter, Mayavadi, Vaishnav, anyone who wants to be, these are different transcendental schools, but if I'm still thinking I'm this body and life is meant for sense gratification, I'm not in any school. I'm in the school of hard knocks, the school of illusion. But when I enter the transcendental department, then I start to think I'm not this body, there must be something other than sense gratification, there must be some higher goal in life. So that's progress. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavaniti, Shadvite. First class, third class, transcendentalist. Oh, I'm not this body, I'm spirit soul. Spirit is everywhere. Next class, transcendentalist. Oh, that supreme must be in my heart. Next, first class, transcendentalist. All of Krishna is the supreme. But they're all on the same platform of spirit. Without coming to the spiritual platform, we're not even in the running, as they say.
But maybe yogis performing their devotional service by doing this meditation.
You can say from one point of view that's also devotional service. And from a very liberal point of view, that just that you're taking up something of the spiritual path can be counted as little something like devotional service. You're devoting yourself to the Supreme, whatever that is. You don't know what the Supreme is or who the Supreme is, but you want to devote your life to it. That's also counted.
Maybe only by seeing, like, on the example of Guru Maharaj or Prahlad Maharaj, they seeing only the beautiful form of the Lord, and they were attracted by this form, and they completely surrendered to him by only seeing him, not coming very deep to the relationship with the Lord, not engaging in some devotional service.
No, Prahlad was, I mean, it's a fact that one may be attracted like that, but Prahlad is not like that. He was always, he heard from Narad Muni, so he knew so much about the Lord. And you read his history, he was singing, he was crying, he was not simply in some vague conception. He was a pure devotee. Dhruva Maharaj, he also, he knew that there was a personality of Godhead. But he was infected by the mode of passion, so he was thinking, yes, let me find that personality of Godhead so that I can get a kingdom from him. That means he was Artarti. That's also counted as one of the beginning devotees. Arta Artarti Jigyasu Gyanicha. Let me find God so that I can get a kingdom from him. That's not a pure devotee, but just the people are praying to God, oh God, please give me my daily bread. Oh God, please give me health. Oh God, please give me wealth. God, please help me pass my exams. God, please. Well, there, God is there. But they're less intelligent because rather than being, they're more interested in the bread or the exam or than they are in God. God is good because with God's help I'll get my material things. That's less intelligent, but they're interested in God.
So devotee doesn't ask it from Lord even liberation. And devotee of the Lord, they can be liberated even being in material body?
Yes. Of course, devotees may ask for liberation, but they're not pure devotees. But yes, a pure devotee is automatically liberated. In Bhagavad Gita, not Bhagavad Gita, but elsewhere, what is that verse? Iha yasya harer dasye karmana manasa gira nikalash vapyavastasu jivan mukta sutrita. Iha yasya harer dasye, anyone who's engaged in the service of the Lord, even here in the material world, karmana manasa gira, with his body, mind, and words, nikalash vapyavastasu, even while he's in this material world, jivan mukta sutrita, he's a liberated soul. Doesn't matter. Goswamis were in the material world. It's not that they weren't liberated souls. They were super liberated.
And the symptoms will be revealed. The symptoms will be revealed. The symptoms of liberated soul will be revealed in his activities.
Will the symptoms of the liberated soul be revealed in his activities for one who knows?
Who can observe it.
Yeah. Otherwise, if you don't know, nothing is revealed. For a person who doesn't know the science, he may not see anything. Those foolish women and children were following Sukadeva Goswami around. They thought he's, some madman. But then when Sukadeva Goswami came to the assembly of the sages, they all stood up. Even Vyasadeva, even Narad Muni, they were all respecting him. Because they could recognize a self-realized soul. Well, the symptoms will be there, but just like a disease, the symptoms may be there, but if you don't know medicine, you may not see the symptoms. But a qualified medical man will at once recognize. Some other question?
Hi, thank you. I was wondering if you could just elaborate in this one point, that when someone is chanting, chanting the holy name, and says that they are on the path of liberation, but that they do not have to serve to a spiritual master.
Do not have?
They don't have to accept a spiritual master. Like, they're thinking in their mentality, chanting, leading to liberation, I've done some service to Krishna. And
one is chanting, so he'll come to prema
without accepting
a spiritual master. That will not. That can happen, but hardly can it be expected. there's some statements in the Shastra that even without a spiritual master, by the grace of Krishna, one can attain everything. But that's hardly to be expected. Hardly to be expected. Like a needle in a haystack, you'll hardly find it. Even to cite something less rare than that, someone gets an honorary degree from the university. Just like Rabindranath Tagore, the great Indian poet. He got a degree from Oxford, but he never went to college. It was enough. He wrote Gitanjali, a great book of poetry. They gave him a degree. But it's not that we'll think, well, why should I go to college? I'll just get an honorary degree from Oxford. We have to study diligently and enroll in the university and take the courses and work hard, and then finally we'll get a degree. Not that we'll just have the degree descend upon us without anything. So the usual expectation is, if one is chanting, one is serious, then Krishna will send him a spiritual master. Just like Dhruva Maharaj, he was determined, I have to find Narayan, God, because I want this kingdom so much, and only God can supply. So he went to the forest. He was so intent on finding God that he went to the forest. He was a 5-year-old boy. Still, he went to the forest to look for God. So Narayan saw, this boy is so serious. So he sent Narad Muni to guide him. Now that's the actual thing. That if we're serious, then by the grace of Krishna, we'll come in touch with a bona fide spiritual master. And by the guidance and direction of the spiritual master, we'll make progress. By the combined Guru Krishna Kripa and Bhakti Lata. Is that okay?
At the same time, if someone thinks that Prabhupada is my guru, even though he didn't give me diksha, I don't need to take any diksha from anyone. If I can just take shiksha and go back to Krishna, is that possible?
Well, I accept Prabhupada as my guru, that's all right, but then what did my guru teach? It's not, you know, just a sentimental thing that Prabhupada is my guru. But what did my guru teach? Accepting that Prabhupada is my guru, what did he say in his books? What's going on here? There's a process. Srila Prabhupada taught that to go back to Godhead, there's a process. Process of what is nectar of devotion about? There's a process of devotional service. There's a science. There's a system. So Srila Prabhupada taught that system of devotional service. And if one thinks, well, why do I have to follow the system? I'll just accept Prabhupada as my guru and he'll take me back to Godhead. What is that? That sentiment. Yes?
Instructions, then you follow him as a guru.
Yeah.
So then that's not enough,
you say? No, I'm saying that's enough. If you accept Prabhupada as your guru, you follow his instructions. Now, what are those instructions?
Yeah, but his instructions are in his books, I think.
They are.
Yeah.
Now, is getting initiated one of those instructions? Is getting initiated one of those instructions? Is it instructed in the books that you should get initiated?
Yeah, I think so.
I think so, I think so too. So if I say, well, I don't need to get initiated because I just read Prabhupada's books, fine, well, what did you read? You see? We have sometimes, in India here, sometimes we find many times people are saying that, yes, I know Krishna. You know, I know Krishna. I'm reading Bhagavad Gita. But then if you ask them what they've read in Bhagavad Gita, they haven't read anything. You know, maybe they saw the Krishna video on television, but they have no idea what Krishna is speaking in Bhagavad Gita. Just some sentimental, yes, yes, Krishna. And what did Krishna teach? Karmanyeva Adhikara say, that everyone should work. Now the ass knows that. So, or they'll say, I don't need a guru, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita every day. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna's teaching, Tadvidhi Pranipatena Paripadvis, approach a guru. No, no, I'm reading Bhagavad Gita, why do I need a guru? Just like sometimes on the bottle of some medicine it says, if symptoms persist, call your physician. So you say, why should I call the physician? I'm reading the label. What else do I have to do? Yes?
Maybe this is applicable for those who is
Kripa-siddhi. Kripa-siddhi, no rules apply. Kripa-siddhi means that Krishna just decides, okay, we like him. That's called causeless mercy. If Krishna likes, doesn't matter what you are, where you are, who you are, he can pick you up. That's the honorary degree from Oxford. We like him, that's all. Did he attend any classes? No. Did he pay any enrollment fee? No. Did he even apply for entrance? No. But we're going to give him a degree. That's Kripa-siddhi. But if we all sit here and say, well, what sadhana are you following, Prabhu? Well, I'm just going to get Kripa-siddhi. We don't do that for anything else, you know. What arrangement are you making for prasadam, Prabhu? Well, I'm just going to wait for Kripa-siddhi. Now, great devotees, they do that. They depend on Krishna and they wait for, but we're not on that platform. Even for dal, rice, and chapatis, we don't think, well, when it comes, I'll eat. We think, well, prasadam is served at 3 o'clock at such and such place, I'll go there, I'll sit. We follow some process. But for going back to Godhead, we have a more exalted approach. We just wait for Kripa-siddhi to descend. First, you should come to that platform that for prasadam I don't make any arrangement. Just I sit and if Krishna feeds me, I eat. Then you can think about Kripa-siddhi and other departments. But no one's going to do that. So why bluff?
Is it any example of Kripa-siddhi nowadays? Some example of a person who are Kripa-siddhi in the center?
In Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, there are examples. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu just, he likes someone, he'll give Bhagavad Krishna. Otherwise, we're getting Kripa, but Guru Krishna Prasad Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. By the mercy, Kripa, of the Guru and Krishna, you get a seed of devotional service. Prabhupada said, what is that seed? It's the plan of devotional service. In other words, the process itself comes by Krishna. If you came in touch with the process of bhakti yoga, that's kripa, that's mercy. No, I'm not going to follow that process. I'm just going to wait for Krishna to give me perfection. A lazy bum. Take the process. That's Krishna's mercy. He's giving this process. No, I'm not going to chant 16 rounds. I'm just going to get kripa. It's hard. Little work is required. Krishna wants to see us do something. Not just that we'll be lazy and wait for Kripa Siddhi. Sadhana Siddhi. Following. Someone may get Kripa Siddhi, but we should expect that. Let me follow and try to become qualified. Yes.
One of the prophets, Prabhupada, mentioned in Bhagavad Gita that one starts a devotional service after he is liberated. Someone who is doing devotional service at the same time and bodily attachments, how do you say that he is liberated?
Someone is doing devotional service, how do we say that he's liberated? No, we don't say... No, no. If he's still thinking he's this body, how is he liberated? But he's begun the process of liberation.
But then he's doing devotional service because of
that. He's begun the process of devotional service. Not that he's perfect, but if he sticks to the process, he'll become perfect. Not that we claim, as soon as we enter kindergarten, now I've got my postgraduate degree. But if you stay in the course, then you'll gradually come. Is that all right? We're, of course, far over time. Do we stop, or what do we do here? Another question? You're welcome to ask people to say anything else. Yes?
You said about this, somebody asked a question. In Chaitanya, one place, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu quotes that Dikha Purushatra Vidhi Nakura Pekha Nam Nilya Hare Krishna Prabhu. That one, if one chants Hare Krishna, that he doesn't know it. By chanting, he gets Navamash, and if he's chanting, it's more harder. Then he can get Shuddha Prajnana without the Dikha Purushatra Vidhi. So let's consider that. Suppose somebody is chanting, but even if he doesn't accept spiritual master.
Yes, Harinam is so merciful that simply by Harinam you can get everything. But that doesn't mean that we'll say, alright, then I'll just do Harinam. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he took Dikha. He accepted initiation also. He was there in the association of devotees, but when he took initiation, then he came to the point, began to show.
Chances,
everything is there. Just like there's so many states, simply by coming to Vrindavan, simply by chanting the holy name, simply by this, simply by that, that's all right. But not that I'll say, I'll simply do this. You do it, that's good. But it's part of a larger process. Seen from another point of view, if you chant Hare Krishna, then by the mercy of Krishna you may get a bona fide guru and your chanting will become perfect. Probably there are devotees in this room. Before they came to the society, they may have been chanting Hare Krishna. And because they were chanting Hare Krishna, then they became attracted to the Hare Krishna movement, then they got initiation, then they began following the process, everything. So they, by the grace of Harinam, they got everything. Not that by the grace of Harinam, all they did was chant Harinam and nothing else happened. But by the grace of Harinam, then they got a guru. Then they, just like that Gop Kumar in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he was chanting some mantra. He didn't know what it was, but he was chanting. And because he was chanting sincerely, he came in touch with a great devotee. He got some instructions about how to chant. Then he made more progress. Finally, he went back to Bali.
Does the advancement of a disciple really depend on the spiritual advancement of his initiating group?
Does the advancement of the disciple depend on the advancement of his initiating guru? It may not. Initiation is not the be-all and end-all.
Especially in an ISKCON society.
ISKCON, and we're not... Philosophy is philosophy. But it depends on, first of all, initiation is the beginning of the spiritual process. Without initiation, he can't expect to make progress. But then he may get further direction. Shikshu guru. But everything should be, one should not become impertinent. Then it will be difficult to make spiritual advancement. What is this Dikshaguru? Not like that. The Shikshaguru is the person who helps you in the line of advancement taught to you by your Dikshaguru. It's not supposed to be a war, it's a cooperative effort. Just like somebody is sometimes the father has the child live with his uncle for some reason. Yeah, by the help of the uncle. But not that the uncle's, I'm taking this kid. What does his father know? It's meant to be cooperative. So that's Vaishnava society, society of cooperation for the benefit of everyone. Yeah.
Different points. Could you say something about the role of the yogis who are meditating on the super soul?
The role of the yogis who are meditating on the super soul?
Yes, the super soul is only present in the material world. What happens to them?
What happens to the yogis when they reach perfection? Yes, the yogis, they'll see the super soul. What is that? Manasa pashanti yam yogi. What is that? Tadgatain manasa pashanti yam yogi. All of a sudden I'm forgetting the beginning. Anyway, the meaning is that the yogis will see the super soul within themselves, then they can develop devotion to the super soul. If they develop devotion, they can go to the spiritual world and serve the super soul. It means the personality of Godhead. The super soul is the portional representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the heart of the living being. Otherwise, that super soul lives in the spiritual world in his original form as the personality of Godhead, Bhagavan. So by seeing the super soul, if they develop their devotional mentality, they can go to the planets of the Vaikuntha, the abode of the Lord. Or else if they think, I could become one with that super soul, then they make up the Ganajati. Then they ruin their devotion opportunity. Okay. Sir. Servant. Prahlad Maharaj is in a service relationship with. So sometimes he's deprecating himself that I never did any real service. I only meditated on Lord Nishimadeva. But his relationship is similar. So. Pardon me?
I did a class on mentioning the Shankara.
Well, the person can always show you the reference. As far as I know, service. Now, some Shanta element may be there that he's appreciating, but he's actively serving. According to Rupa Goswami, sometimes Shanta is not, his heart barely considered devotional service. Generally, the example of the Shanta people are the yogis who are just barely above impersonalism. You read Nectar of Devotion, yogis who are barely above impersonalism. And Prahlad Maharaj is more advanced. Shall we stop here? All right. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.